Welcome, everyone, to the Elite Beat, the place for your news, reviews, previews, and all sorts of other information about AEW television programming. I am Megan, standing in for Andy as the main host of this week. And tonight I am joined by, I didn't get the distances because I'm not Andy, but in Canada, our friend, recurring guest, Amanda. Welcome.
Hi. Nice to see you again.
Thank you for joining us. I guess to address the fact that we failed to put out a show last week, there was a family emergency in the Andy Jenny household, and so no episode was put out. So apologies to listeners, but that is why Amanda and I are sort of manning the ship this week. Hope everybody's cool with that because we put out great shows, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, we want to make sure you have something to listen to this week.
Yes, I feel like we had a great pay-per-view show a while back, so I'm not worried about this one. It's regular as Dynamite week. Amanda, do you have a pop of the week, though? Because that's how we start out every show.
I sure do. So we ordered pizza last week, and I don't drink pop or soda very often, but I like to have it with pizza, and I like it because a lot of pizza places carry Brio, which is a Chinato soda. It's sort of made with, I think, similar stuff that they make bitters out of, like Campari and stuff. And so I have this. We got two bottles, but Jay and I just shared one. So I have a second one here. So I'm going to try and pop it on the mic here with my bottle opener. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, exciting.
Not an expert at this.
Oh, I heard a fizz.
Nope. The angle is wrong. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I heard a little like shh.
My husband is a bartender. I wish he was just here to do this for me.
Lucas,
let's pretend I opened it. And I'll keep working on it while you do yours.
No, struggle through it. Bottles. The fact, again, that you have bottled, like, soda or pop or however.
Oh, I got the top off, finally.
Yay!
Yay!
The fact that you have bottled carbonated beverage is just charming to me because I don't know. It's, like, not as common around
you. Yeah. It's sort of like one of those things, I guess, like the... In America, you guys have the Mexican Coke or whatever. It's like Brio is kind of like our version of that.
That's so fun.
So, here it is.
I love it. It looks very charming, the bottle, for our listeners who can't see it. I'm just saying. It
smells nice and bitter.
Is there like a flavor? Or is it just like Brio is like the Coke? I don't know.
It's not cola. It's like Chinato is the flavor.
Okay.
And it's this whatever plant they use to make like Aperol or Campari or that kind of, it's the same thing, but they make a soda out of it. So it's sweet like cola, but it has that like bitter aftertaste like those do.
Okay. Awesome.
Very refreshing.
Nice. Okay. I just have box one as per usual. I will hit the box. That is the sound of the box. It is Boda Box Cabernet. It's just what's in my house, so that's what I'm drinking.
Ooh, that's a nice sound.
Yes. Cheers, everyone. Okay. Amanda, Andy sent me a plethora of news items, honestly.
Great.
He's just like, let me do your homework for you. So, I'm going to ask you, there are three categories of news items. We've got a lot of them in the separate categories. But would you like to hear about talent updates at AEW, upcoming matches involving AEW talent, or the two Tony Khan announcements that have been made in the past week?
I feel like the Tony Khan announcements must be talent update related, maybe, but maybe they're too mysterious. But let's start with those.
Okay. Okay.
Then I can imagine his announcement face, which is one of my favorite sights in the universe.
The uncomfortable, like...
the unblinking eyes. Well, you can see the white of the eye above and below the iris. That is rare. Most people cannot get their eyes in such a state, but he can do it for 2 or 3 whole minutes.
It feels like pure panic, which I know I shouldn't laugh at, but it's just like, Tony,
I have
you
a
could just pre-tape.
Soft place in my heart for, like, I mean, you hardly get to see it anymore now, the way that we all watch shows. But, you know, back in the television days when you would have a local business and it was just the person who owned the business who would do the commercial and come out and be so earnest. And we've got a great furniture sale. Come on down. You'll love it. And so I always had a soft place in my heart for that. And I feel like I get that, plus the pure comic relief of his emoji-like facial expression while he delivers these announcements. So
100%. That is a good comparison. Those old commercials, I love them. They were so charming. I always felt like, oh, you're trying your hardest, business person. Tony Khan, I think he's trying his hardest, but he's very awkward. So I'll give you like the, I would say the lesser of the two announcements. And it happened on X/Twitter, however you want to call it these days. So he didn't have to like stare into a camera to deliver it. But he posted a tweet or whatever you call X. He posted something that said, it was on Valentine's Day, and it said, AEW Dynamite is red, AE Dynamite is blue, until Wednesday after AEW Revolution, when we'll have a brand new set for you. So this was his big reveal, that Dynamite is going to get a new set, like a, you know, stage and whatnot, after Revolution, and it's going to debut on the Dynamite directly after Revolution, so like March 6th. And from what it sounds like, the red and blue is going away, or at least not going to be like the primary colors anymore.
Maybe gold? They've recently introduced gold as a color. You know, like they had the blue and gold. They didn't have the blue and red tournament brackets.
Oh, that's...
And they have they have gold as their sort of like merch theme, like if you go on their website. That's my guess.
Honestly, I'm interested to see how it turns out. I would be fine with blue and gold. I always thought the blue and red was weirdly close to WWE in a way that was like, why did you pick that? There are so many other colors. Like, why did you pick the two that WWE use?
Yeah.
So I'm down with a set change. I'm interested to see how they go. But that was Tony Khan announcing on Twitter or X. So, announcement one. Announcement two, I feel like, is a little more impactful. He has said there will be a Dynamite special, AEW Dynamite Big Business.
Yes, and yes.
It is happening in Boston at the TD Garden on March 13th. And while there is no set lineup yet, there are rumors out there that this could be a good time to debut Mercedes Moné, who I don't know if is officially signed, but, you know, people are like, she probably is, maybe she is, but it would be Boston. People point out that Big Business is like, she was the boss, money, you know, Sasha Banks. Yep. It's all like, she's from Boston, so it's like the stars are aligning. So that's...
Well, eagle-eyed Lucas, when we watched Dynamite from last week, noticed that when they had the graphic and they had, you know, part of it in the background that said Boston, it was Boston with two S's. So they were even doubling down on the Boston part right there.
There you go. That feels very like Tony Khan, where it's like, it's a surprise, but I'm going to let you know what the surprise is so that you're ready for the surprise, you know?
So that you buy those tickets and tune in.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I mean, I wouldn't be upset if that's what happens. Mm-hmm. Also, people have been speculating that Okada could show up at this particular...
Yeah, because he finished up, like, he didn't re-sign and...
Yes, that is actually one of the news items. And I guess we'll just go to talent updates because that's where I put it. But Okada is apparently expected, according to Figure Four Online, reported by Brian Rose, he is expected to sign with AEW. And his last match with New Japan is supposed to be, the way it was phrased was like not for certain, but they believe it's February 24th. So that would be plenty of time to, show up in March. But the article by Brian Rose referenced a Fightful report that said that the deal between Okada and AEW was like, quote, effectively agreed to in the last couple weeks, and that AEW was confident they would sign him. And that also apparently they have been tossing around creative ideas for him since January. So they sound really confident if that is actually the case.
Well, those would both be great additions, I think.
Oh, yes. Very exciting. Love them both. I hope if Mercedes gets added that maybe like we get more than one women's match a week.
Yes.
I don't know.
I think they could use a shake up. I feel like it's really, we'll talk about it a bit in this week's Dynamite. And I've been really liking all the Toni Storm stuff, but I feel like they've just really been trying to hook whatever they can on her. And that's all that there is going on. And so it would be very nice to have some other storyline, big character, something to.
I totally agree. Have. I just think it's like your hands are tied when you only have one match to do anything with. I guess Collision is a thing, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've jumped into the talent update section. Okada is very exciting. I'm not going to say these next two are less exciting, but they're kind of less, maybe less like front of your face impactful. Rocky Romero, we love him on this podcast. He is now joining the front office of AEW, but also he is still working for New Japan. So he's kind of like splitting his time, and also he still wrestles for both of them. So
yeah, I mean, he showed up last week, I guess, and got beat up so that Orange Cassidy could have to get in a match. So
yeah,
he's been around, but it's nice that, you know, because sort of he'll be reliably around more.
Yeah, and I love seeing him when he shows up, and he is responsible, I guess, for helping to bring the whole CMLL AEW relationship into fruition back in October, and like that is going to come up later. So like I appreciate the work he's doing, but also I just think he's like fun to watch when he's in the ring. So
totally,
he'll be around. Another person returning to AEW as an executive who I care a lot less about is QT Marshall.
Oh no, we thought he was gone.
He voluntarily left, from what I understand, but now he's back, and apparently he will not be working in ring, so I guess that's why I'm fine with it, because it's like I don't have to see him doing his QT thing. Mm-hmm. And he's also allowed to go wrestle in other promotions, all except for WWE, which
I mean, are they planning to put him on anyway? Like
that was my thought. It's like, are they knocking on his door? I'm going to go with no. So
it's like, okay, you can do, it's like with those things, like, I don't know, we don't have this, but like people who are like married and they're like, you know, you can't, you know, we're exclusive, but I guess you could have an affair with Chris Evans if you wanted to. And it's like, great. Well, never going to come up, so no problem.
Yep. Thank you for that permission. Can't wait to use that.
Yeah, this is that, basically.
No WWE for you, QT. Sure. Okay. So those were the lesser of the, you know, compared to Okada, it's hard. The bar is set high. But also,
I don't think anyone's going to be offended by you saying either of those people that they are less famous than Okada or Mercedes Moné.
I hope not.
They're just facts.
Thank you. Okay. And then I saved the last one just because I know your sort of feeling about the Hardy Boys. Oh. Or the Hardys, if you will, in this promotion. This is a spoiler, sort of, for this week's pre-taped Rampage, for anyone listening who cares. I'm not going to spoil the match, but I will say Jeff Hardy suffered a broken nose during his match against Sammy Guevara.
What? Yeah. Is Sammy... Didn't he... In that sort of behind-the-scenes thing where Matt Hardy, like, for real, banged his head and bled all over the floor?
Yeah.
That was involving Sammy as well.
Yeah, this time I guess he did like a shooting star press or something similar, like, and hit Jeff in the nose with his knee.
Oh.
And so they figure four reports that he suffered a broken nose, but he was able to finish the match. And he, even though he appeared dazed after, like in a daze after, he didn't actually, they say he didn't suffer a concussion. So.
I mean, I feel like. If I broke my nose, I played rugby. I never broke my nose, but I got hurt. And I feel like part of it could just be like, God, my nose really hurts. It's like bleeding. You know what I mean? I'd be out of it too, even if I didn't have a concussion.
Yeah, I'm sure. And if you break your nose, like, I'm assuming it's harder to breathe.
Yes, exactly.
Would probably put you in a little bit of a daze, but... Yeah, so
and
that's
just like, I can't believe the same guy took the other one of us out.
The Hardys are going to like have to like storyline team up and be like, we have to kill Sammy.
That's right.
He's a danger to us. But yeah, so that's the report on Jeff. No idea if when or how long that will keep him out. If it were keep him out, I know some people show up with like. The big old like Phantom of the Opera.
The NBA like face. That's what I always think of it as. The NBA face mask.
Yeah. Yeah. Brandon Cutler wore his for months and months and months too long. But yeah. So he may be back. I don't know. I don't clamor for Jeff Hardy to be on my television. So.
Same. I don't wish him harm. But, you know, no. It's fine if he's not wrestling for a little while.
Exactly. Yeah. That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our talent updates, which leaves only a couple upcoming matches that involve AEW talent that will not happen in the confines of AEW.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, Bryan Danielson, living his best life in his last year of wrestling, according to him, because, you know, his daughter turned 7. Or 8, I don't actually remember the cutoff, but no more wrestling. So he has challenged Zack Sabre Jr. to a 2 out of 3 falls match on neutral territory because...
Interesting.
Yeah, so he beat Zack Sabre Jr. in AEW, and then recently Zack Sabre Jr. beat him in New Japan on the New Beginning in Osaka show.
So they're fighting in Hawaii? Sure, yeah. I think where would be right in between.
I'm like, what is the neutral ground? But according to Ian Carey of Figure Four Wrestling Online, a couple quotes from Danielson were, one, quote, the best technical wrestler in the world. It's not me anymore. It's Zack Sabre Jr. I hope the Japanese fans appreciate every time we get to see him. So that was after he lost. And then... He also said, quote, let's find a promoter, any promoter in the world who wants to do a 2 out of 3 falls match with me and Zack Sabre Jr. will find a way to get it done.
Oh.
So.
So they maybe don't have a promotion yet, or I don't know. Or.
I mean, based on the fact that he's signed to AEW, does this mean CMLL has to, like, host this because it can't be New Japan and it can't be AEW, but, like, who else do they work with?
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully they won't be like, Ring of Honor, it's a different company. That'd be very cheesy.
Oh, Amanda, don't put it out into the world. Don't put it out there. Because you're right. What if they show up on Impact? What are we doing? But yeah, so that's like an undetermined sort of in the future. But also involving Danielson is that on a set date, the Blackpool Combat Club is going to be wrestling on CML's Oh God, I'm gonna butcher this. So sorry if you know Spanish. Homenage, homenage a dos leyendas. So sorry to Spanish speakers. On March 29th, it is a show where John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli, Brian Danielson, and Wheeler Yuta are going to be taking on the team, the CMLL team of Mystico, Volador Jr., Blue Panther, and Ultimo Guerrero.
Those are the people who've been hanging out in the crowd and like making mean faces, right? I mean, yes. We assume actually they're all wearing masks, but
I think it is. Oh God, I think it's Volador Jr. who didn't have a mask on. Mm. Andy pointed out how red his face was on one show.
Yes. Okay.
So So that's definitely happening on March 29th. I guess if you are, I don't know how you watch CMLL at this point.
Yeah.
So to those out there who do, maybe just share it around with people, info on how to watch that show, because I have no idea and I assume I won't get to see it. But it sounds fun.
Yeah, very. And they've been sort of building it up too, so.
Yeah, the CMLL guys are just being really mean on Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It'll probably be great. But that's the news. So we're going to get to Dynamite, but Andy loves ratings and I have to cover ratings.
Ah, okay.
He loves a good rating. So Dynamite this week, it averaged 811,000 viewers, which
that
is
sounds
up.
Good.
Yeah. I think anything over 8, honestly, is like fine.
Yeah.
It's up 0.8% from last week, and it's sadly the second lowest audience total for the show since January 10th, according to Paul Fontaine at Figure Four Online. But January 10th was like literally a month ago, so maybe it's fine. I don't know.
February, I don't know. It's like, seems like always a bad month for everyone in every respect. So
yeah, it's kind of like, ugh, we just got through January.
Yeah.
But yeah, to quote Paul's article, Dynamite drew a 0.3 rating in the 18 to 49 demo, which is up 7.1% from last week, and is the second highest rating the show has done in that category so far in 2024. So you got to kind of like second lowest, second highest deal. I'm not as keen on the rating, so I don't know if it's like, that's cool, that's okay. But I thought the show was fine. Good.
Me too.
And it should be noted that there was an NBA game on the same night that beat Dynamite. It was the only thing that beat Dynamite in the demo, which makes sense because it's a live sports show. But it did start literally right after Dynamite. So I don't know.
And it was Valentine's Day. So assumedly, some people are, who wouldn't normally go out on a Wednesday, were going out and doing things. I was feeling under the weather yesterday, so I fell asleep pretty soon after finishing work, and my husband and my son, Lucas and Jay, went out to dinner together to a restaurant and brought me back leftovers, which I ate when I woke up from my recovery sleep. So we were all Valentined out by Dynamite time.
Okay, well, that's adorable, and I hope you're feeling better, but also, like, what a fun, nice thing to wake up to, like, here is your wonderful Valentine's Day dinner, just, like, here. You didn't have to leave the house for it.
I know.
Victory. Okay, so, yeah, with that, I mean, we can move on to Dynamite, unless there's anything else.
I'm ready to talk about Dynamite.
Now, you're a regular Dynamite watcher, is that correct?
Yep. I would say I watch 3 out of 4 in the month.
Okay.
So, more often than not. Some weeks I just listen to what you guys say and I go, okay. And then if anything sounds good, I'll go watch that. But I definitely watch Dynamite most of the time. I would say Collision sometimes, and these days, Rampage, none of the times.
Honestly, totally fair. And I think I sync up with that schedule as well, because I'll watch all four Dynamites a month, mostly. I did miss last week. But Collision is slipping. I feel like I got to get back into Collision.
Yeah,
I'm letting it fall off the schedule, and Rampage just doesn't exist in my world at this point.
The lack of Excalibur really hurts me. I like Nigel, but Excalibur is vital to my ability to truly enjoy and understand what's going on. Even after all this time of watching, there's just certain things that he explains or says that really help me get into it. That, you know, none of the other sort of color commentators can really fulfill.
I agree. He's kind of like the magical ingredient. He's just fun and he's quick-witted, and I love an Excalibur, especially especially watching the UK version.
Yes, where we do it. We have that as well. Yeah.
The announce team so goes off the rails on the picture-in-picture breaks, and I love it so much.
Yeah. And I'll just add, as my one plug, not my actual official plug of the week, but talking of what AEW you consume, I also still watch my hometown boy, sort of, slash from New York, RJ, every week. I still, you know, watch all the AEWs. So that's my every week 11-minute or whatever, like, must watch.
You know what? That's a hot recommendation. Very good. And I need to set aside time, because I have watched a few, and you're correct. He's very funny. And depending on, like, the quality of the guest, I think they have, like, I watched the Adam Copeland one. And
yeah,
they
had, that was GOAT. That was,
yeah.
He knew what he was supposed to do there, and it was just perfect. Yeah.
I think
but
I.
Those shows have also made me like people that I didn't particularly like more, you know, like I was just like, what is Juice Robinson? Like, why is he making these faces? And then,
that,
you know, after seeing his
question.
Very silly thing, I was like, okay, you know what? I like him now. Yeah. Okay. I get it. So.
What is Juice Robinson? Correct. Yeah. I think, I still think it pops into my head way too often. So, Alter Bridge, huh? like, that was incredible. So, yeah. So, hey, EW, that's the unofficial plug. We'll get to the official plug later, but I agree. That's a good reco. Okay. So, Dynamite this week, we'll get into it. It was in the HEB Center in Austin, Texas. And, man, this crowd, what is just, like, excited to be here. Just fired up the whole time.
Yeah, great crowd.
Yeah,
costumes. They were really into the Valentine thing. Signs. Pink everywhere. Hearts. Just people dressed up weirdly that had nothing to do with Valentine's Day.
Yep.
So, yeah. And then, yes, really, you know, cheering, chanting, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, Austin, Texas was like, they were like, thanks for coming back. Because I know this isn't the first time they've played, shown up at this arena. So this crowd was like ready for more. But
yes, they were keeping it weird.
Yes, as you do in Austin. Keep it weird. So yes, the crowd all the way through to the end. Super hyped. The show opens with a whole lot of testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
John Moxley takes on Dax Harwood in a, you know, rare for him singles match, and they just basically like beat the hell out of each other for literally just under 20 minutes. Like we got like a 15 minute warning. We got, I think there was like a 3 minutes left warning, but I don't remember ever in a regular Dynamite match where there was no stipulations. Really, I don't remember that ever happening. So
yeah.
This was a long one.
Yeah, it was just slaps, chokes, headbutts, just two big three-letter ending next named men just like colliding, no pun intended, for like 20 minutes. And so many like different head drop moves. This is the perfect example of where Excalibur is helping me. I'm like, oh, he's dropping it on his head again. Okay, that one was a brain buster. Oh, that one's a DDT. That one's a pile driver, you know? Because to me, it's just like, oh, he's lifting him vertically and then doing one of the ones where he drops him on his head again. Oh, a different one again, again, again.
Yeah, no, Excalibur is like king of like, I know the names of these moves and I will say them for you, which is so helpful. But yeah, it was just a lot of head drops, but safely. None of them looked terrible. So,
and there was some good, you were speaking before about the chatter in the picture-in-picture, and they had some good ones here with Taz trying to make a thing about, well, at least they're wrestling with heart. It's like, crickets, and like heart Valentine's Day. I was like, oh dear.
It's like I tried a thing. Oh yeah, I love it, love it, love it. Yeah, so they had a really long opener, but the crowd was hot the whole time, and Moxley finally choked him out with the bulldog choke. Well, Dax tapped. He didn't do the like hero pass out thing. He did tap, which is fine. They're both strong men.
It's fine.
They're both capable of kissing each other on the mouth also, which happened at the beginning. Happy Valentine's Day. but after the bell, Moxley, you know, he doesn't let go of the hold. So Cash Wheeler, Dax's best friend, runs out to save his boy. And, you know, this results in Claudio running out to save his boy. And so it's 2-on-2, but ultimately the BCC guys, you know, take out the FTR guys and, you know, you have to. Yep. Yeah.
For some reason, I thought this would be one of those like, and who else is going to come out to help them? And it was just like, and no one did. They're just lying there as Claudio and Mox walk away. Okay. Bye-bye.
Everyone's like, FTR, just solve your own problems. We don't care. Yeah. Oh, well. I mean, they tried. They didn't succeed, but they tried.
Yep.
So from there, we go backstage where Renee is talking to the Don Callis family. And she asked Takeshita specifically what's next for him and the family as a whole, because, you know, he wins a lot. Takeshita does not get to talk. Don Callis steps in and he says, our family needs to be on the next pay-per-view, Revolution. But there's like no talent that can stand up to this boy, Takeshita, which makes sense. He's huge. He's winning a lot. He's great. But Don's like, I've got a solution. And then he relates a very emotionally healthy, for sure, story about how his father used to make he and his brothers fight against one another as kids. And like, that's why they're so close. It's so great. So he's going to employ this tactic. And he says at Revolution, the audience is going to get the best show possible because he's going to have Takeshita fight his fellow Callis family member, Powerhouse Hobbs. And he's pretty sure that like, no matter who wins, it's going to make the Callis family stronger. It's going to bring them together.
No. I hate to contradict you.
No, do it. Cause I may have missed this part.
So he was, first of all, there was something I thought kind of subtle, but funny. He's going on about Takeshita's so great. No one can beat him. He's the ace. Everyone's afraid. I can't get a match for him. And then he sort of is like, and Hobbs is good too. And then he's like, okay, anyway, blah, blah, blah. No one will fight us. We have to fight each other, I believe. So we can fact check this.
No.
I don't know how. I guess people have computers. But then match he announced was Takeshita versus Ospreay.
Oh,
and I remember because I thought he was saying like, this guy and this guy, this guy and this guy. I thought it was going to be them. Then he said Ospreay. And I thought, first of all, oh, okay. So he sort of swerved it. But also I thought, that I want to see, because two of Kenny's, like, well, two of the amazing AEW matches last year, or I would say in the last year. I don't know if they were like both calendar 2023, maybe a little longer, but
close enough.
Kenny versus Takeshita and Kenny versus Ospreay, which we saw in Toronto. And so I'm like, oh, I would love to see the two of them.
No, you know what? You're 100% right, because I feel like I wrote down Hops because he was standing right there. I love that you got the subtle, like, pitting them against each other. But yeah, I think I was just like, oh, he said Hobbs. But you're right, because I think the announcer said something about Ospreay right after that, and I was like, I guess I could rewind, but I won't. So no, you're totally right. And you are also right that that's way more compelling than Hobbs and Takeshita. I want to see Ospreay and Takeshita.
I feel like, you know, Hobbs and Takeshita could have a good match, but it's just going to be the, like, two huge guys match. Whereas, you know, we've seen Takeshita with Darby or with someone who's very agile. Mm-hmm. And then we've seen Ospreay with a whole bunch of people. He's always amazing. So I think the two of them will be really great together. I'm very excited to see it.
Yeah, and you're right, because Ospreay is, like, he's agile, but he's also kind of big. So, like, that should be, like, a very cool match.
Yeah, it won't just be like, and I fling you from one corner to the other.
Yeah.
Which is fun in its own way, but we've seen that.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. That's way more of a pay-per-view match. I think Hobbs and Takeshita would be, like, a dynamite match.
Yes.
But I do like the subtle pitting against, because you know Hobbs is going to show up and probably do something.
Yep, for sure.
So, all right. So there's that exciting news. And then after that, we go to the ring for like a much less exciting match, because it happened so quickly. Wardlow.
Why did Adam Cole come out? It was like the most pointless guest commentary ever.
Even if he wasn't. So Adam Cole came out to commentary and he was very disagreeable in the sense that, like, the other announcers tried to talk to him and he just stared stone straight ahead, wouldn't say a word. But also the match itself was like maybe a minute long because it was a squash.
Yes.
So
when they're like Wardlow versus man you've never heard of, you're like, all right, Amanda, I see what will happen here.
Barrett Brown, please. A man named Barrett Brown. But yeah, it was like all of a minute. Adam Cole was out there. He wouldn't talk to anybody. And then when the match was over, he said, thank you, gentlemen. Goodbye. That was it.
Great.
And then he was done.
Is this worth your ankle or whatever walking all the way out here?
Yeah. Took you more effort to get out there than it did for you to say any words. So
I have a funny, I hope, Adam Cole anecdote from literally today. I was walking to pick up Jay at the school bus stop, and there was this man brushing snow off his car. We had a big snowstorm here today. Mm-hmm. And he really reminded me of Adam Cole. Like, he had the same length hair, similar shape of face, similar facial hair. And as I always do, because I'm not a very, I don't know, cool person, I was just like looking at him. I was like, man, that guy looks like Adam Cole. Obviously, I was like staring at him for so long. And then he looks at me and he's like, hi, like wave, like weird lady, why are you staring at me? And I was just like, okay, nod, keep walking down the street. I thought, I really need to be a little more with it on what I'm not used to. Realizing everyone can see me in public now that I don't like wear a mask all the time and whatever. So
Jenny and I have like a code word for that, and it is, you're not wearing your sunglasses.
That's right.
Because that's Jenny great. Totally just like like when we were younger, went to music festivals, there was a time where she just like literally made the most sour, judgy face at this group of teenagers who were being arguably like very, they deserve to be judged, but she's just like wiping her sunglasses off as she like looks at them like they're just idiots. And I'm like, Jenny, you're not wearing your sunglasses. And so ever since then, it was like, when you're staring inappropriately, it's just like, but you know what? Did he have a limp? It could have been Adam Cole. Maybe he was just wandering around Canada.
You never know.
Never know. Well, he didn't provide any helpful commentary, and that's okay. Match was short, and Wardlow won, because of course he did. But from there, we get a video that was filmed earlier of, let me make sure I get these names correct, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson arriving by private jet, Taylor Swift style.
Right.
And they, to my horror, are wearing their gross, bloodied white suits from last week, looking like real douchebags.
Oh, totally. Although, Nick's suit seemed to have, like, other fresher blood on it. I don't know if you noticed that. It was like on the what is happening in that place?
Yeah, it was, I'm just like, oh my god, boys, that's so nasty. But you know what? We'll get to that. They had just arrived at the airport or the private airport or whatever. We'll see them arrive at the building later. But that was just to let us know. So the next match of the day, of the night, is hometown hero for you, I believe, Adam Copeland.
Correct. I'm going to try very hard to call him Adam Copeland. Or Adam during this recap, but apologies in advance if I fail.
I'm pretty sure Taz called him Edge.
Okay.
At least once. So yes, Adam Copeland, Edge, versus Daniel Garcia. And the winner of this match will get a shot at Christian Cage for the title, the TNT title, at Revolution.
And lest we forget, Daddy Magic, a.k.a., according to, I think, Excalibur, the Quebecois Alex Abrahantes, was on commentary.
And I believe he, said, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
So he was nice.
That's a very gracious response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does commentary when Daniel Garcia shows up. He's got to talk up his boy. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, for this one, the crowd remains super hyped. And they do dueling chants at the beginning for each guy. Mm-hmm. Because I think, how can you not like each of these men?
Exactly. Yep.
However, at some point, Garcia seems to become the favorite. And I was very happy because that meant Adam Copeland, the Edge, if you will, had a delightful opportunity to heal it up a bit. And that's really fun.
Yes.
So
there was a spot that it seemed completely natural and not planned. And I don't know what it was like finding a four-leaf clover. When he goes out, they're outside the ring, and there's, as we mentioned, people wearing their costumes. This man wearing these heart sunglasses, and like you said, he's like, okay, fine, you guys are, cheering for him. I'm going to, heal it up a bit. He takes the guy's sunglasses and puts them on. The guy just, without missing beat, just reaches into his suit pocket, pulls out another pair of heart sunglasses.
Always carry a backup. On.
What happened? It was very funny.
Well, and then Adam's like, fine. And he breaks them because it's got another pair. But yeah, that was incredible. That was the Sting pulling up the Sting mask. And it's just
That's
oh
right.
No, he is super prepared. So yeah, I love, I think Christian is having a renaissance in a way that's incredible, but Adam Copeland, every week I'm liking him more and more. I liked Edge, but when he came back, I was like, are you aging worse than Christian? But it turns out, no, he's doing great.
He was always a favorite of mine when we lived in Columbus and would watch WWE with Andy. Just, you know, the faces that he makes constantly are just so amusing to me. He was a favorite one to see on screen. So, but I was the same as you. When he first came back, I sort of thought, okay, I haven't seen you in years. I know you were wrestling. You know, you look, I don't know.
He looks a little grizzlier than Christian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so I just thought, okay, well, let's see. But nope, he's got it.
Still got it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so he heals it up, and you know what? The audience eats it up. They get mad at him, and I think they would remain mad at him, except when he gets to the point where he looks like he might tap out Daniel Garcia. Nick Wayne shows up. Nick Wayne and Kill Switch, which I still hate to say, is Luchasaurus. If you haven't caught on to that change, it's Luchasaurus, and they interfere, and we get a no contest in this match, which means no one is determined to be Christian's next opponent. Mm-hmm. And then, because they're already out there, Killswitch and Nick Wayne start beating up both guys. At some point, I think Adam rolls away, because Daddy Magic tries to, like, get into the mix, and doesn't work out for him.
Nope.
And then Mother Wayne and Christian walk down to the ring, and Mother Wayne hits Adam in the balls right before he can hit Christian with a chair, which is unfortunate, because then the patriarchy just, like, they just move in and wail on poor Adam. And Christian sets him up for a concerto, which I was like, somebody's going to come out and save
yes,
him.
Yes, yes.
But alas, nobody did.
Nope.
He got concertoed, and the crowd was so pissed. They were booing. They said, like, Christian, like, you suck, or something about, they were basically disparaged Christian. They hate him. They're booing. And Christian's just, like, soaking it up, and it's just like, yes, kissing the belt as he walks away. He does care.
Make it, was it? I think Tony Schiavone was here. He's making out with the damn belt.
Yes, it was Valentine's Day, and he had that belt. That's his partner, okay? So happy. But yeah, he did not care that he was being booed out of the stadium. And you know what? Daniel Garcia couldn't save Adam, but he did get in the ring and try to help him after Christian left. And he looked like he looked like he respected him. They had a respectful match. Mm-hmm. So good for them. Christian is so mean, but I love him so much. Such a dick. So after that drama, we get kind of more drama, honestly. Samoa Joe, he is scheduled to come out to address the crowd. Before he does, though, we get like a recap. You saw last week. I did not, but it looked really cool as far as like what went on with Adam Page and Swerve Strickland. They had a match. It ended in a time limit draw, and then Swerve did the classic thing where he's like, 5 more minutes. Mm-hmm. And Adam's like, no, you have to beat me in a match, and you didn't. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
So it looked pretty, like, a pretty great match, though. So I want to go back.
They timed that amazingly well, because it wasn't just that it went to time, but Swerve was pinning Hangman, and it was like 1, 2, and then on two the bell rang. So, like, you know, I don't know if there's someone there literally with a stopwatch going, okay, this has to be exactly 30 minutes when we start the hold, but basically just that the bell girl who you always see off in the corner,
she always
having
gets
to grab
run
the
off
bell at the last second, pull
yeah
it out of the way, run away because someone's smashing through her table. This was her moment to shine. She had to wait until Aubrey was lifted her hand to do the two. So just as she came down on the two, ding, 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 the match ended. So it was like the most dramatic match ending early you could possibly have.
Oh, I love it. That sounds so good. Man. Okay. I want to go back and watch last week's show.
At least watch that match. You know exactly how long it will take.
It's true. Down to the minute. And I believe, I can't remember what match it was previously, but it was another one of those where it came down to literally the minute. Mm-hmm. And Andy said somebody timed it and verified they literally did, like, they followed the time exactly.
Amazing.
So, yes, that's pretty good coordination. So, I mean, that's like that's the backstory. Mm-hmm. So Joe is here. And I love Joe's take on this. Joe is like, I'm here to apologize to you, the crowd, as the champion, because I reenacted the ranking system to ensure that only the best and most worthy would face me as a competitor. And then last week, Adam Page and Swerve Strickland, they fight to a draw. And he's like, the way I interpreted that was that both guys would get kicked to the back of the line because they didn't, nobody won. Mm-hmm. And instead, and I love this quote, he says, my title match has been made bigger and dumber.
Yes.
Which I feel like is amazing because on some level I'm like, that's true. Like,
I am so happy for Joe. I love this promo. I love seeing him out here. And I'm not going to name names, but a couple of the previous champs we've had who just come out and chew the scenery for so long, and he comes out and gets it done in like 2 minutes, bam, amazing, like sells it so good. And I'm so happy, and I'm happy for him. And I don't mean that to sound patronizing, but I'm like, yes, you deserve it. Good for you.
No, I think you're 100% right, because he literally is like, he wraps up his speech in like quick, because he says it's made bigger and dumber. And then he goes, obviously, a crime has been committed against me and there must be repercussions, which I'm like, I love your drama. And he says, you know what? You send both these guys out to me and I'm not just going to beat them. I'm going to hurt both of them if they get in the ring with me. And then he's ready to go home. That's his message. And he's like, I'm ready. I'm good.
Yep.
But he's not done, because Swerve shows up and he has, you know, he's got to say his piece. So he does not look intimidated by Joe, who has just promised to hurt him. But he says, Joe, I tried to make this clear that it wasn't supposed to be personal, but it seems like you're making it personal. And he believes that Joe needs to give him the respect he deserves. Cause you know, he runs down, like, I've beat like top talent in AEW, legends in AEW, like my resume proves how good I am and it deserves your respect. And so, like, I'm going to fight you and I'm not worried. And then, of course, Adam Page has to chime in. And man, he gets more and more. So, I didn't see him last week. But this week, that facial hair, it's creeping to a place, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a lot of stash.
Well, the whole, plus the sort of the juxtaposition of the two of them, because I thought, you know, this was Swerve's most earnest, sincere promo I've seen in so long. He wasn't growling, intimidating, making faces, just sort of doing like right, which is fine. Like, that's a, you know, a cool character. But just that, you know, normally he's kind of doing like a very tough guy. And like you said, he came out and he was just like, here's what I want and this. And like, I'm going to just tell you, like, here's where I'm at and everything, you know? And like, all right, it was like really cool. You know, here's two guys that sort of worked together before. And he's, you know, saying, well, here, I want to be in the match. And then Hangman comes out. And literally the first thing he's like, first of all, I wasn't mad. And I'm like, okay, that's like not, never, anyone who starts a conversation with like, first of all, I wasn't mad is like, okay, this is, you know, you're already sort of starting from like a level of a 8-year-old here or whatever. Like,
you know. Yeah. Like, I wasn't mad, but you were mad. Because, like, like Swerve is like, yeah, this is bigger and dumber, and I don't like it either. And he basically was like, I earned my spot. I should be here. And then Adam comes out and he's like doubling down on, look, I said you didn't get an extra 5 minutes because you were supposed to beat me in a regulation match and you didn't. And so I don't know why you're here because I deserve to be here. And he like yells at Swerve basically like, you don't deserve my like 1 second of my time, let alone that extra 5 minutes you asked for. And you don't deserve to be in this championship match. And Swerve's just like, okay. And then Joe, ever the efficient person, is like, I'm not here. Like, he's like, I'm over this. You're not going to pin him to get my championship, and you're not going to pin him to get my championship. I'm going to beat both your asses and get my, like, save my championship. So we're just, this is done. And then he just walks away, and it's like.
Yes, and I felt like following up on the way that Hangman started out, this was just like the dad coming in with the two kids who are fighting and just being like, look, this is it. It's over, you know, like, go to your room or whatever, you know, like,
yeah.
So, yeah, he just shut it down. Perfect.
Loved it. Love Joe. So that's, as we trek towards Revolution, that's the three-way match we're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so after this, we talked a little earlier about Timeless Toni Storm, and she has a new film she's presenting to us, a short film, if you will. It is called Wet Ink, and this is in regards to the tattoo that she and Diana Perazzo share, the duck on her ankle, and she starts out and she just says, she asks, like, what does this tattoo remind me of? And, you know, basically she says it reminds her of a person she befriended out of pity and who became her, I loved this, young girl, which was so fun. And, you know, eventually after all the success Toni brought her, she says, you bit the tit that feeds you.
I wrote that exact line down as well.
Toni Storm is incredible. So she, we cut to her at a tattoo parlor very dramatically getting inked. She's just, Luther's like covering her face with his coat because she's like having such a time that she's making these like dramatic pained faces. It's incredible. And I was like really surprised. I'm like, is she covering up that duck tattoo? Because that seems really like a big move for an angle. But it turns out she just got like a dagger, like kind of like through it, but also it's like under the skin.
It's cutting it off almost, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's what it looked like. Like, it's like a knife removing the duck tattoo, like grossly sort of cutting off the piece of skin. Also, how could you make that tattoo even weirder? Wouldn't have bet
she
that
found
you could,
a way.
But make an eyeball knife in the process of cutting it off? Ding. You succeed.
Yeah, it was like, okay, so you didn't cover it up, which is, okay, I would have thought would have been a, like, really extreme reaction, but she did alter it in a way that was like, I'm cutting it out. So after that wild film, we cut immediately to Renee, who was talking to Diana, and she's like, so how do you feel about what that was? Diana's just like, Toni talks too much. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. She says, I'm going to break that bitch's arm.
Yep.
Like, okay, cool. It should be fun.
I mean, I thought it was the perfect response, right? Just to like a, whatever was, 4.5 minute film to just be like, here's 4.5 seconds.
Yeah, it was essentially like the TLDR.
Yeah.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Loved it. So we have them kind of stewing in the background. After that, we get to a real-time Matthew and Nicholas update. They are shown exiting their big-ass limo in the arena, and they are heading directly into the ring, which immediately takes us to their match. And I don't know why I was surprised, but they are literally wearing those suits And that's what they wear in their match. Just like white, bloody suits.
Yep.
Yep. So gross. And Nyx even has the like page boy hat.
Yeah.
Briefly.
Although I believe someone called it a derby.
Excalibur. Is your boy.
Yeah.
Is that wrong?
I think that's a derby. I mean, I'm no haberdasher, but I think a derby is like a bowler. It's like one of those rounded, like a butler wears.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, if I'm incorrectly correcting him, please, someone call me out somewhere.
He's gonna be so mad.
I know. If I ever meet him, he'll be like, no, I'm not talking to you.
You corrected my derby hat. So, regardless, though, they wear these horrifying suits. They're so, like, every time. So, they're going up against Top Flight. And every time they had, like, one of them, like, really close in a hold, I'm just like, ew.
I know.
Your face is all next to dried blood. Ugh, gross. But anyway, yeah, they face Top Flight. These are two teams of brothers. Both are very well coordinated. And the match is very good. The Young Bucks get a chance to play up their wacky EVP heel shtick, which I think is fun. And it's against basically the most baby of baby faces in Top Flight because they're just like nice boys. and the crowd loves it. And they get really pissed at the ending because Nicholas distracts the ref. Yeah, so
that was some great commentary banter during this match was... Like, at the beginning, Excalibur and Tony Schiavone sort of still calling them the Bucks or Matt and Nick.
They don't
and
respect.
Then Taz going like, oh, why don't you respect them? And you got to call them by their full names. And Excalibur, I think it was, sort of said week after week, they find new and grotesque things to do with their facial hair. Which just made Taz even madder because they weren't respecting them. But by the end of the match, it was Matthew and Nicholas, every move, however fast they're at, Matthew this, Nicholas that. So, yes, but there was a nice back and forth about, you know, you got to put some respect on those names.
Yeah, Taz is really toeing the company line.
Mm-hmm.
And both Matthew and Nicholas took moments throughout the match to stop by the announce table and be like Nicholas was a real hothead. And he's just like, you guys better be doing good and not like talking shit about us. And then Matthew stopped by and he's like, hey guys, how's it going? Good stuff. Yeah. Everybody like good vibes. Matthew's facial hair is appalling to me. It's Excalibur was 100% correct. Like that is some horrible, horrible facial hair. But yeah, they did, the EVP team did win because they cheated. Nicholas distracted the ref, Matthew low-blowed Darius Martin, and they then did in what they're now calling the EVP trigger. So yes. The BTE trigger.
I'll say though, I really enjoyed the match. I think anyone who's listening, you know, like, you know what you're going to get or what you hope to get when you hear it's Top Flight versus the Young Bucks. And it was delivered. It was lots of flips, lots of kicks. Very exciting.
The opposite of what FTR wants. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. You know, we had what we expected between Mox and Dax in the first match. And we had what we expected between these four guys in this match. And really great. Really enjoyable. And yes, as you mentioned, you know, as we expect with their sort of heelish scenario going on right now, it ended with a low blow, a ref distract, and the EVP trigger. Which I feel like immediately it happened, they were like, and announcing the move of the night,
yep.
The EVP trigger. I love that they had that in the chamber, you know, like, I've never heard of this thing called move of the night before, and was there ready to endow upon them as soon as their match finished.
Yes. Considering there was still about a half an hour left, they decided like, no, move right. Tonight. It just happened.
Sorry, OC.
Yeah, it's already been determined. But yes, the EVP characters are really fun. And after the match, they got to highlight that even more because Tony Schiavone, he comes out and he's like, hey, congratulations on your win. How are you feeling? And Matthew calls out the fact that he and Nicholas are undefeated in the year 2024, which people keep saying, and I'm like, it's February.
Yeah.
But okay. Okay. But because of that, they are the number one contenders in the tag team division. And Tony's like, oh, okay. And then they go, look over there. And on the big screen, they have like a graphic for this specific like occasion, like number one contenders. And Tony's like, well, that's great. But like, you know, Sting couldn't be here tonight because of what happened last week. And they get really mad.
Mm-hmm.
And Matthew's like, it seems like the way you're treating us is really inappropriate. And it's a breach of your contract. And we're just going to have to charge you $1,000 fine. And Tony's like, what? And then Nicholas pushes Tony. And everybody's like, boo, don't you hurt Tony Giovanni, yeah. As they should. And then Matthew's like, I'm sorry, Tony, my brother's a hothead. And he offers his hand and Tony takes it. And then Nicholas is like, yes, I'm so sorry. And he offers his hand. And suddenly Tony's like, wait a minute. One brother, one hand. And he still innocently takes it. And then they start to pull him up and they stop. Right at that EVP trigger point. And Tony looks scared. And then Darby runs out. And he's like, I will save Tony Schiavone. And everyone's very happy about it. So
now, I thought this was Darby's best promo I've ever seen.
He's very fired up.
When there was the sort of four pillars angle, you know, there was a lot of talk about, okay, only one of these pillars can really hold up their end of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought he did an amazing job. Because I feel like, you know, he sort of says his few words and like, well, we're going to fight you. And me and Sting, we're going to defend our titles. Or he sort of has his, like, you know, quite terse, you know, but effective, like, one or two things. But
mm-hmm.
he gave his whole speech here, real strong accent coming out. As I say, I'm sure everyone hearing me say out is, giggling to themselves. But anyway, his particular strong accent really coming out, I found. And I thought he did an awesome job. Like, I was like, yep, here's Darby. He's, you know, totally holding his own. Great promo. And he made a comment at one point about the early AEW where he didn't name any names, but the crowd caught on.
Yes.
And
that was another moment where I'm like, are you allowed to say that? But I guess he is, because he said basically that he had to beg the Bucks to give him a job. When they were bringing in all their California friends. And he said, even though there was one real EVP who knew what was going on. And the Bucks are like, can he? And the crowd's like,
that's the thing. He just said that. He's like, one EVP. And then the crowd. I feel like it's the one time you can get the AEW crowd to chant for Cody now that he's in WWE.
Yep.
But I definitely heard the name. They were doing Cody chants.
Yep. I did like the Bucks just cluelessly being like, Kenny? Kenny?
Yeah, and that's right.
It's just like perfectly. But yeah, Darby was so impassioned, I guess. Like he really was feeling it. And yeah, he said that, and he does make it official for Revolution, even though I think we all expected it. But he says Sting isn't here tonight, but he will be at Revolution, and the last match should be against you guys, the Young Bucks. So it's Darby and Sting versus the Young Bucks for the final match of Sting's
career.
Yep, it's gonna be exciting. It'll be pretty fun.
Now, I have to ask a favor of you. I know you guys don't normally pause ever. So I'm going to leave.
We can pause.
Or I was going to say, otherwise, if you can do the bang bang scissor gang segment, I will be back in about 30 seconds.
Okay, I'll do the bang bang scissor gang. And if you're back and with enough time to comment on it, that's fun. And if not, we'll pause.
Right. Apologies, listeners. I will return imminently.
Real life hits. It happens. Okay. So, as Amanda alluded to, the next segment up after Darby had said his piece is Renee. She is talking to the Bang Bang Scissor Gang, and they, Austin Gunn in particular, really loves to play with her hair. So she's like, okay, guys, okay. As they come in, Austin's playing with her hair, and she says, you know, Bang Bang Scissor Gang, you guys seem fun. Seems like you guys are getting along. You're winning matches. Like, what is your goal? And again, they're all distracted. Like, they're all just chattering amongst themselves, like excited little boys. And they're playing with Renee's hair, and they're giving her a, like, somebody gives her a rose. So a lot's going on. And Jay White is like, guys, guys, we have to get it together. He says, you know, he says, calm down. And he's like taking the leadership role here. And he says, you know, we haven't really tested our cohesiveness yet as a group. We have won separately, you know, as like the Acclaimed and the Bullet Club Gold. But like, we haven't tested our cohesiveness yet as a group. And so Billy or maybe Austin starts, but basically, you know, Austin Gunn, his father, Billy Gunn, is there. And Austin says, like, hey, we should have a 12. And Billy says, stop. I have an idea. We should have a 12-man match Friday night on Rampage. And Austin looks like hurt because he's like, I was going to say that. But that is what is determined to be the way to cohese them.
Cohere
them. That is the correct word. You're right. So we learned that on Rampage this Friday, they're going to have a 12-man match. Rampage has already been taped, if you didn't get that from when we were covering the news segments. So I don't know who they settled on as opponents. I don't know the outcome because I don't look at spoilers, but 12-man match on Rampage.
I was trying to remember if they had announced it during the episode, because I thought a 12-man match is a very weird thing to just throw out there. It's not like, oh yeah, so obvious, one of those 6-man stables just hanging around like waiting to have a match.
Yeah, like, exactly, like no one comes to mind as a 6-man stable that it, like, immediately where I'm like
the only thing I can think of, and I guess we'll find out eventually, because like you, I have not looked up what happened, and so people can listen to this tomorrow and watch it tomorrow night or whatever, but is, you know, that sort of stable of the, like, luchador guys of, like, you know, Vikingo, Commander, maybe Penta, maybe Rey Fénix, and then, like, two of the other guys who sometimes come in and out of that group. That's my best prediction, but who knows?
Yeah, you're right. I have no idea, because 6 is such an odd number for currently for factions. Mm-hmm. I can't think of many of them. So yeah, maybe they'll just throw together. I think the Lucha guys would be fun, but maybe they'll just throw together random 6 people. I don't know. I have not heard. As far as I remember, they did not announce it by the end of Dynamite.
I didn't think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you watch Rampage or if you look at spoilers, I guess you'll see. But as far as right now, no idea. I assume that it would have to be somebody they beat, though, because we want them to cohere. Like, that's the idea, so. I'm not going to watch Rampage. Spoiler. So I don't know. We'll find out. But yeah, so Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Good vibes. They're going to cohere. After that, we and I always like to point it out this way, we get the single women's match of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, it is Willow Nightingale versus the very gothic Sky Blue.
No blue. No more blue.
Not a blue piece among her, or piece of costuming. She looks very gothic. She's very angry. Her and Julia Hart are BFFs, so obviously that's where we're coming from. Stokely Hathaway joins commentary because he's, you know, there for Willow. And I think these two have a very good match. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that Stokely is out there. So he jumps up and distracts the ref while Sky has Willow pinned, which prevents that from going through. And then Willow ends up getting the pin.
Yeah, that was an interesting choice, I thought, because like clearly in this matchup, Willow is the face. Mm-hmm. First of all, Sky Blue is an evil goth now. Yep. So ergo heel coded. Second of all, Willow, when she came out, I guess potentially had seen backstage a little boy in the front row with a sign that said, "Willow, will you be my Valentine?" Oh. And she went over to him first thing when she came out and gave him something. I don't see what, like, just sort of had something for him. So clearly it's like, oh, this is the wonderful, happy person. And then it's just like, oh, yeah, and Stokely's here. Oh, yeah, and he cheated. And maybe she didn't exactly participate, but they didn't have that, like, it was neither a thing where she could have missed that he did something, right? Like, she's looking away. Sometimes they have that. Mm-hmm. The person's looking away, and their sort of like sneaky helper, you know, does something behind their back to knock down the other guy or the ref or whatever. In this case, it was like, there's no way she didn't know. And then at the end, she was just like, yay, Stokely, I won. And I thought, this is very interesting. Like, you know, these sort of kind of cheating face move. It's rarer to see.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was just, like, maybe a badly, like, they messed up. Because I would think the way she played it, because like you said, there's no way she didn't see mm-hmm. from the way she was positioned and what was happening. But the way she played it was like, yay, like, I could be oblivious. I don't know. So I don't know.
Maybe that was less than 3 seconds.
Yeah. It's like, I'm still happy. Yeah, so I don't know if that was like a they did it bad or it was a weird way to convey it, but yeah, like I would think the uber face baby face Willow would not be cool with cheating, but she seems totally fine with Stokely.
Yep.
Who was Jade's manager and is like known for being kind of shady as a manager.
Yeah. Speaking of Jade, I don't know if you saw, but I have massive respect for someone in the crowd who just randomly had a sign that said, "I paid to see Smart Mark."
I did not see that.
Hopefully he came out pre-show if they had something. Maybe he was on, will end up being on Rampage. I don't know, but I love that person that they're like, I'm getting front row tickets and I expect to see Mark Sterling.
Give me Smart Mark. Oh my God, I missed that, but that's incredible. And like, kudos to that person. Live your dream. Because that's amazing. That's a hell of a ask for Dynamite.
Yeah.
But incredible. Oh. So yeah, that's that's the women's event. So that leaves us with the main event. And the main event is a Texas death match, which means anything goes and knockout or submission is the only way to win. So,
And it's like knockout meaning like 10 seconds. It's like TKO.
Yeah, like they have to be down for, like, that counts. Even if they're conscious, they have to not be able to get to their feet for 10 seconds. So it's Orange Cassidy against the Undisputed Kingdom's Matt Taven. And It's a Texas death match. So, like, both guys end up bleeding. I think Orange is bleeding 5 minutes in, but eventually Matt Taven gets there. And we get tables, tacks, a chain, chairs, a lead pipe. It's appropriately gross. And you know what? These guys work their asses off for a regular ass dynamite. It's just not a match that it's not for me, is what I'll say. Like,
I love Orange Cassidy. And so whenever I'm like, okay, he's going to be in one of these, it's like, I still know I'll like it more than not like it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have other wrestlers to see bleeding all over the place and whatever. I don't need that in my Orange Cassidy match, but it was a great match. Very fun. There was a very funny section where, so they sort of went through the crowd and they went kind of behind, like, the people who were sitting ringside and the bleachers people, and they made their way around to the stage, and sort of Orange Cassidy's lying there, and Matt Taven sets up a table and he puts him on it and he stands up on the stage and then he's going around like heckling all the people who are cheering for Orange Cassidy. And so at one point in that sequence, I thought, oh, are people cheering Matt Taven? And then I realized, no, they're just cheering the word table.
Yep.
And so it was extra funny to me that they had this whole, sort of sequence of like, oh, he's mad that they're not cheering him. And then I have no idea if it was on purpose or not, but it was very funny to me that I thought for a second that they were cheering him. And no, they were just cheering a literal table before they will cheer for him.
Yep. They want tables, damn it. Not Matt Taven, tables. But yeah. Oh, and I will say that lead up you just described, I felt so bad because Matt Taven did eventually jump off the stage to do an elbow drop.
Break properly.
Yeah, it did not break. It seemed very painful. It did not break. So that, not either of their faults, but damn, that's tough.
Mm-hmm.
So, and another scary table moment for me was Matt Taven set up a table kind of propped up on the announce table, diagonal. And Taz, I did appreciate Taz immediately got up and was like, well, something's going to happen. Like, we got to move. And the other guys are like, well, nothing's happening right now. But then Matt Taven, after a little bit of time, Orange was standing in front of it, and Matt Taven from the ring just full on like dove out of the ring head first into the table. Yes. Orange dodged and Matt Taven's just like swan diving into a table. And I'm just like, oh my God, don't do that, sir. But yeah,
I loved okay. This was the time too. So you were mentioning they had pins, they had a pipe, but it wasn't just like a bag of thumbtacks.
No.
They knew what day of the year this show was going to be on.
It's the day of love.
And every single prop they used in the show, apart from the tables, was in some kind of gift box shaped like a heart and pastel colored from the Best Friends, or I guess specifically from Chucky.
He couldn't make it here tonight, but he sent Orange some gifts.
That was a great little homage to the day, I thought.
I also loved that Trent showed up to help Orange. He was here in the building, and he showed up directly, and he had a box of flowers. And then he just ripped them open and was like, actually, it's a lead pipe. Very fun. Very fun Valentine's Day themed bloody Texas death match. And Orange does get the win. He ended up wrapping his hand with a chain that had been brought out again of a heart box. And he did an Orange Punch, and Taven just could not get up within the 10 count. Despite his friends trying to help him, Roderick Strong ran out, and Mike Bennett had shown up earlier and he threw a bunch of chairs in the ring. Roderick Strong as Taven was getting counted out, he tried to attack Orange, and Orange was like, nope. I think
Trent saved him. He like dove in the way. Yep.
Best friends on Valentine's Day. You don't mess with that deep love.
Valentine's Day.
Yep. So Orange gets the win, and that is how Dynamite wrapped up.
Yep. Great final match. Great show overall.
Yeah, I was very entertained. Thoroughly enjoyed it. So, looking forward to next week. I don't have any matches written down for next week because that's how I roll. Andy's probably more prepared, but I don't pay attention to the cards for coming up. So
the one I didn't notice, one that I thought was like kind of weird, actually, I did make a note of it. It was, so they just had that promo that we talked about and was great on this episode of like, oh, it's Joe, but he's got to go against Swerve and Hangman. And he's telling them, no way, I'm going to hurt both of you guys, blah, blah, blah. And then partway through, I think it was in the women's match, as you say, the women's match, I noticed down in the corner, they're like, and by the way, coming up, I don't know if it was on Collision or next week's Dynamite, but it was like a 6-man tag match with one of the teams being Joe and Swerve and Brian Cage. And I was like, what is happening here? Like, you just had this promo between them going like, you know, I mean, it wasn't like full of huge animosity or anything, but they're trying to set up a match here. And then they're like, anyway, they're wrestling together before the pay-per-view happens as friends.
You are 100% correct, because I do remember that. Yes. And because Adam Page is on the other side with Hook, Adam Page. I forget the last person.
Mm-hmm. Me
sorry,
too.
Sorry to that last person. But yeah, you're right. Because like, didn't we just see an angle where Joe pretended to help out MJF and then he ended up hurting him? And he literally said to Swerve and Adam, I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah.
And now you're putting them all in a ring together. Granted, it's a 6-man tag, but it's like,
but two of them on the same side who like, he's defending his title against him. Like,
yeah, you're making them work together somehow for this. Yeah, that was I was confused as well. And I guess we'll see if there's some sort of shenanigans that go on during it. But like, what a weird, what, like, why?
Yes, why? Exactly. That's my feeling. Just why?
just why? What are the stakes? We have none. It's not for like a number one contender. It's not for anything. It's just like, oh, we'll throw these guys together.
And I felt like they did a great job setting up for the match with that promo sequence this week, you know? And sort of, here's Joe's position. No, I'm the guy I'm defending. You guys can bicker, but I'm the one who's going to win my belt for myself. And, you know, it's not like they needed something to add an element or drama because the story wasn't developed. It was in a perfect place. Why fiddle with it?
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just like we need to draw out. But I'm looking at the calendar, so Revolution is March 3rd, which means there's only two more Dynamites until then.
Mm-hmm.
So you could, I don't think you need to, that's such a weird thing to put. Like, you could either stretch out the like conflict.
Well, yeah, and you can stretch out the Swerve Hangman thing as long as you want.
Yeah.
But it just putting Joe and Swerve together on a team in there is what makes it go into an odd decision territory for me.
Yeah, we'll see no, what like, they do. Why would either of them sign on? Except for the fact that Swerve expressed that he agreed with Joe as far as, like, this is a dumb match, that it's three people, like, we should.
Who's right about it being dumb? Let's find out.
It's bigger and dumber. I hate it. But like, I don't know. Like, why would any of those guys waste their time doing this? Like, non-important six-man tag. So, no, that's fair. I don't know if that was the only thing announced, but I do agree with your assessment.
It's the only thing I remember, so.
Truly, yeah.
Stop
and
there.
And I don't even remember the sixth person in it. I don't. Yeah. Oh, well. So that's our preview section. We're doing great work here. But yeah, so with that, I mean, do you have any parting thoughts, or do we just want to get into plug of the week here? You got any?
We can just do plugs. My only parting thought, I think, was, as I said, great show overall. Liked it. Lots of fun moments. Like you, I'm so happy to have Fight TV and get to hear that banter. There was some good chatter on this show and silliness.
I love that the second that they're like, you're not live on TNT, it's like they all just drop the facade, and they're just like, we're all just kind of a bunch of weirdo buddies, right? It's so good. Highly recommended to those who may want to try that option. But anyway, that's Dynamite. It was a pretty good show. And so we have kept you for, I don't know, a little over an hour and a half at this point. Don't want to keep you too much longer, but we do have to do the plug of the week. Amanda, do you have a plug of the week?
I do. My plug of the week is, you know, I haven't been on in a while, so I would say it's actually not super recent, but definitely in that period, I was spending a massive amount of time playing Baldur's Gate 3 on Steam.
Oh, wow.
Lucas and I started playing it maybe last fall after it came out in couch co-op, but he works 3 to 4 nights a week. And I was like, I'm not going to not play Baldur's Gate.
Sorry, Lucas.
On the evenings that he's not here. So I separately started my own campaign. So I would play my own campaign on the nights that he was working and I was home. And then when he was here, we were playing together. So I played hell of Baldur's Gate in the last few months. I finally finished my solo campaign about 3 weeks ago. And so I've taking a break now. I'm not going to immediately start up another one, but it, you know, it won Game of the Year and a bunch of things. Really deserves it. I'm much more of a short, simple, puzzle-based adventure gamer. Like, I like the old point-and-click style adventure games. And again, I don't have social media, so no one listening to this has any way to contact me directly unless you already know me. But I have recommendations of those type of games for days. You know, normally things require this level of like inventory management and like leveling up trees. I'm sort of like, ugh, give me a break. But I really liked it. Beautiful game, funny characters, great story. 100% across the board. So that's my plug of the week for anyone who hasn't played it yet but has heard about it.
Oh, that's so fun. Yes, I am in that category. I have heard many good things about it. It sounds really fun. It sounds up my alley. I just don't have a computer that has that kind of power, and I don't know that I have consoles that can play it. I have like the Xbox One and the PlayStation 3. So
yeah, we played it on PC because all we have is a Switch, which I don't think is like ever playing it anytime.
I love my Switch, but no, I don't see that happening. But that's a good recommendation. I need to find a way to play it because it sounds so fun. And if you typically like the point and click adventure, if you could get into that like leveling and stuff, that.
Well, the good thing is, and okay, so sorry if there's any like lead hacksaws out there or whatever, but they have the ability, they have like different like modes, right? You can play on. And so they'd have an easier mode, which is just like, and you have twice the amount of hit points and the battles have less guys in them. So it's like, you get to do some fighting, but mostly you go through and do the story and, mm-hmm. you know, so it like still took over 100 hours to get through the game.
Oh, I'm damn.
It's huge and a long game, but, you know, they do allow, like, within the normal build of the game to be like, oh, you don't want to have to worry about, you know, exactly what you put that one ability point into. Okay, we'll play in this mode and then just like wear gear that looks cool or whatever. And so,
hey, I am pro indoors. That mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think people need to chill out. Everybody can play the way they want. But yeah, like that's fun. It still took 100 hours. That's bananas. These games are out of control.
That's like, again, so I'm not going for like winning the most, but I am like, I'm going to uncover every pixel of this map if
yes.
it kills me. So
that scratches a particular itch too.
That's my option that I go for, which is why it took so long. Yeah.
No, I love that. That's so fun. Okay. I am down with that. I'm so curious about that game. I really want to find a way to play it. So. Good recommendation. My plug of the week, I have been having my house torn up with construction and remodeling, so I don't have much mental capacity, but my sister and I have we have started watching, or not started, we're almost through Only Murders in the Building season 3.
Yes, I have watched all of those. I'm a mystery junkie. I don't like true crime. I don't like anything spooky or too gross. But I'm like an Agatha Christie, Dorothy Sayers, Arthur Conan Doyle head from a long
yes.
time. And it captures that sort of type of, you know, weird to say, but like non-threatening, like murder show. Like, very nice.
Yeah. Yeah, because there's, like, so we have one more episode left. So unless it totally tanks on the last one, I'm going to say this season has been delightful. But it's mm-hmm. so, like, charming, and mm-hmm. it's not scary. And I like the characters and the way they come together. And also, yeah. like, outside of the murder arc, there's, like, just their interplay, mm-hmm. which I think is very fun. So I've loved the first two seasons, and this third one has been great. And I also love that in the third season, like, Paul Rudd signed on.
Yes.
And another big star, which I almost feel like I don't want to spoil because I didn't know about them, but like, I feel like people are, apparently it's got some clout and
mm-hmm.
some big names sign on to it. So I'm just like, that's charming and beautiful. And it just seems really fun. So
I'll second your recommendation for sure.
Yes, I love it. And again, I have one more episode to watch in season 3, but I'm hoping they get a season 4 already.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if season 3 ends the way season 1 and 2 did, where it's like, yes, we definitely have another season coming, but I hope so. So yes, it's on Hulu. It's all out there.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I don't. How are you watching it?
Well, in case you have other Canadian listeners, we don't have Hulu. It's on Disney Plus here.
Whoa, really?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
On Hulu / Disney Plus.
We do have Canadian listeners, at least one that I know of. So this is good info. But yeah, okay. It's on Hulu in the Americas.
What?
In the North.
Excuse me.
The United States. I am showing my USA. I'm being like in America.
Even if you'd said in America, it was just because you specifically said the Americas.
In all of the Americas. No, sorry. I didn't mean
North
to be like
and South America.
A horrible America person. No, sorry. North America encompasses Canada and the USA. So if you're in the USA, it's on Hulu. If you're in Canada, it's apparently on Disney Plus. Yes. I can't speak to any other of parts of the Americas.
Sorry. Mexico, Venezuela, look it up on the internet.
Sorry. Yeah, no, but it's charming and good. And if you haven't watched season one and two, I say probably go for that. I mean, they do build on each other and they're all Agreed. Charming. So
yes.
Just in general. Okay.
All right.
So I think it's time for us to leave you. Amanda, do you know the ending? Would you like to do the ending thing or would you like?
I still remember it. I will do it.
Okay, good. Because me throwing to myself would be so awkward. So, okay. For Amanda, for me, it's been a pleasure to have you listening. And this has been the Elite Beat.
Elite Beat. Elite Beat.